You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Hey, what's up, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm David.
And we got a pretty light week this week because there's kind of a bunch like right on the horizon. Some stuff we're not allowed to talk about. So you're going to get a lot next week when we do talk about that stuff. But, you know, we still have some interesting announcements and stuff. Polestar got a facelift. Twitter nuked third-party apps. And now two of my favorite apps of all time are dead. And it's making me really sad. And there's also some layoffs and things in the tech world that we can talk about. But first, we should recap this past week of a bunch of Apple products that came out that we did actually get to review and use. Because last time we talked about these, it was before we were allowed to reveal that we had them and that we were reviewing them. Now the reviews are out. So these are the M2 Pro.
Great naming. So there we go.
Something's never changed.
Yeah, this is evergreen. So M2 Pro and M2 Max MacBook Pro, those are really, the more I think about them, really tough names.
Yeah, Mac and Max should never have been approved.
Max.
How did no one say that out loud? That's remote.
M1 Max Mac.
You know how we've been doing alliterations for the ending of a lot of videos? The name itself is M2 Max Mac. Yeah. That's a lot. Right? Anyway, we reviewed them. And also the M2 and M2 Pro Mac Mini. I found the laptops, the M2 Pro and M2 Max laptops, to be excellent, to be an appropriately small bump up from the M1 Pro and M1 Max, which is not a surprise if you have those laptops. There's no need to upgrade every year. Those are great laptops, but you did get the improved efficiency. You did get a little bit more battery life. You did get HDMI 2.1. You did get a few more cores, so like better laptop. No shocking surprises there. Great. I am much more interested in and happy with the Mac Mini because that gives me like a new default Mac to recommend. It's $599 for the M2 Mac Mini. And you can use whatever display you want. And if you don't need a laptop, that's actually the one you should get. And then if you need more, then you can build up from there. So that's kind of how I reviewed them. They are both up live on the channel now. Any other thoughts on these Macs?
Yeah. This just came out this morning, but the 14-inch base model has a slower SSD this time because it used to be 4 NAND chips and now it's 2. We saw this last year with the M2 MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. It had slower storage speed because they use less chips, so you can't do sequential writing and reading.
Right.
So now it's down to read scores of around 3,000 megabytes per second. And write scores of about 3,000 megabytes per second compared to the almost 5,000 reads and 4,000 writes last year. Substantial downgrade, but 3,000 is still very good.
That's what I was going to say.
Three gigs a second is still a lot.
I see headlines like this and I'm like, all right, it's slower and the benchmarks are going to go find it and it's going to be a headline, but will anyone actually using them need to make a different buying decision because of it? Like, is it actually a huge difference, like a problematic difference?
Like, it's annoying if you're moving a lot of data and you get, you know, 2 gigs less a second. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah. But if you're working with a lot of big files, you may notice. Are you also, is that person buying the base version? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it still should be that. I was getting like 6,000, I remember, doing my testing.
Yeah, it's only on the 512 gigabyte model.
The base 14 inch.
Yeah.
I guess if you only have 512 of storage, like, if you're mad that you're not getting another two gig write speed, you don't have a lot of storage to do anything with that anyways, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're moving storage off of the main computer and onto an SSD, though, then the write speed's slower.
Yeah, yeah. Which you'll do more.
True, yeah, maybe it needs it more.
Yeah.
So
it's annoying, but it makes sense. I think it probably saves Apple money to just use higher tiered storage chips instead of more smaller chips.
That's exactly what it is. We may touch on this topic a little bit in an upcoming video, but that's a story for another day. We'll get to that video when we get to it. So the Macs are out. I think they're pretty good. My hot take is they're
cool.
Yeah.
Hot so exciting.
Spicy take.
Super spicy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can talk about Mac Pro whenever it comes out, because that's the last step of this.
Actually, how long have you been saying that for?
Well, also, iMac is like still weirdly just chilling and on M1.
Yeah, I don't think they see a point in just pushing it to M2. Yeah,
unless there's a Pro. I could see them
waiting till M3, honestly.
Because of how good the Mac Mini is, there's no reason to buy an iMac.
Yeah, I mean, there's like stores that buy iMacs. Like there's this tiny like wine shop across the way from me that has an M1 iMac.
Because it's convenient?
Yeah, just as an all-in-one.
Because they could buy a Mac Mini and a $300 monitor and save money. But then they have a cable.
Exactly, yeah. I think there are a lot of people out there who like,
they just need a desktop computer.
Exactly. Plugging in a monitor sounds so easy for all of us. But like if I were to buy a computer for somebody that I know I'm the dedicated tech person for, I would least amount of cables possible. cable and an iMac.
Variables.
Yeah, fewest variables.
But that's where person's got a white bezel.
I mean, I'm sure that person agreed. That person probably doesn't care about M2,
The wine shop owner does not care. She's just trying to sell wine. Yeah. She doesn't care.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it'll set that one way for the Mac Pro. All right. Polestar 2024 facelift. I like some of these modern EV facelifts we're seeing. Every time I do an autofocus video on a new modern EV, it's my favorite thing to pay attention to, like how they, what that company thinks an EV should look like. And they all kind of have ended up with this minimal face with bar lights and sort of modern LED light patterns, especially when you turn on and off the car, things like that. That's become very common. And so I like to see, you know, how they think about this type of thing.
I would say a lot of cars are going this way in general. Like you're seeing, we were just talking about the Kia Niro before and how like there have been some out there because they have the hybrid version and there is the EV version. But like Kia's been going that route also. They've been trying to update their whole model, like to get away from the old Kia and it be the new awesome Kia that I think a lot of people like. This looks great though.
Polestar 2.
I don't know how I feel about getting rid of they had like a meshed grill before and now they're just swapping to basically like it just kind of looks like a little like laser LiDAR system.
I do prefer the old grill.
Yeah.
But I don't mind this new one to color match. It kind of reminds me of the Mustang Mach-E, where you can either get the GT with the color matching or the regular one, which is just black.
Mm-hmm.
But the old Polestar grill is better than just like a black, shiny plastic. It was kind of nice.
I like this. I think I would like this one better if that LiDAR sensor wasn't like right in the middle.
Like a nose.
Like I wish it was in that little gap underneath and then blends in with it because it would look really nice.
Yeah, strange.
But just having this little dot on the front of the car is a little weird.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think this looks really
good. Is it even a LiDAR sensor?
Whatever it is, camera sensor.
It's a hole for a camera or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a spec bump, kind of like the new laptops. So it's got 300 miles of range on a single motor version. It's a slightly larger battery capacity, too, to get that 300 miles. It can charge at 205 kilowatts, which is higher than the previous 155 kilowatts, so that's good. The dual motor doesn't get a bigger battery, but you do get better performance, 299 horsepower and 361 pound-feet of torque versus the slightly lower numbers of before. So the rear-wheel drive can do 0 to 60 in 5.9 seconds, which is kind of quick. It was 7 seconds before, which is, I mean, that's a big difference.
It's a pretty big difference.
Once you get under 5.5 seconds, you start to get to like sports car territory. This is like decently quick.
Yeah.
And there's also now a rear-wheel drive version. So that was new. We didn't have a rear-wheel drive version before. It's just the all-wheel drive Polestar. So I like it.
Yeah.
I think price tag is going to be all of the killer, like the most important thing about this. And I don't even think this is a hot take either, but like Polestar is in my top four favorite EVs, period, on the planet.
Do you think it gets much of a price bump or difference? Because this like feels like this is the new thing that I think is really interesting in EVs is Tesla's been around the longest, So we see it in that. I don't know if everything else will do it, but are we going to get the 2023 Polestar, or are we just going to get the Polestar 2 updated, like Gen 2, where it doesn't really say it? And
I think because it's a small facelift, it can be kind of like the M2 MacBook Pro, fall into the same price tag, but just be a little bit better than last time.
I wouldn't be surprised if this falls into same price tag.
Yeah, they added wireless chargers and driver awareness features as standard now as well. Something that was annoying with the Polestar is that it started at a pretty good price, but their add-on packages all costed a lot of money, and there were features that were standard in a lot of other EVs.
Right. Especially
that was frustrating. Premium. Yeah, and it was like $6,000 to add like wireless chargers and the driver assistance stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So you're actually saving quite a bit of money now that they're like bundling that stuff in, which is good. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
I'm into the Polestar. My top EVs as far as like overall package usability are Tesla Model S, right above Porsche Taycan, right above Rivian R1T, and then Polestar, as far as ones I've tried.
I really think Hyundai and Kia are going to, like, I still think
they're really
doing
good,
so well.
But the materials and the overall, like, build of the Polestar is better.
Really
what's
good.
The price tag on a Polestar? It's like starting at 50.
Those are around, upper 40s, 50s, easily. A lot of them are in the 50s.
Yeah.
So it feels like it. Like, the Ioniq is nice, but it isn't built as well.
It's surely like downgraded from that, but it's is it? It's far cheaper.
Polestar starts at 48,400.
48, yeah.
Yeah. Also, they just feel sportier than the numbers. I don't know what it is about the way it drives. It feels like a Model Y type of drive.
I do have to say,
is good.
The thing I don't love about the Polestar 2 is it's like really close to like, it feels like it's the crossover between a sedan and a crossover. Like, it feels a little bigger than a sedan, but not quite a crossover. So I'm really, really excited for the Polestar SUV, which all the, I don't know if they're official renders or like officially what the car looks like yet, but it looks fantastic. Like, this, but actually in an SUV version, I think looks way better. Cause this still has that weird, like, chunky back end that like kind of looks like it should be, I don't know.
Storage, like a hatchbacky type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My only concern is the SUV going to have like the same battery and everything, because then it's going to get less range.
It will get, so that's a question. It probably will also have to have upgraded tech, because there's some, is this rumor still? 2023 Polestar, I've got a CNET article that's saying 500 plus horsepower, 300 mile range. That would imply much improved batteries.
This battery that they're getting ready for the Polestar 3 is what they're adding into this facelift Polestar 2, and that's why it's getting better battery. Or is it just because it's now they're doing a single motor and you just get better efficiency out of that? But that's like, it's a pretty significant battery bump, right?
I think in there's a bunch
terms
of
range.
It's not way bigger, but it moves it like 30 more miles.
It was what, like was it 240 before?
I think it was above 250.
Oh, okay.
It was one of very few that
it might just be rear wheel then.
It's 82 kilowatt hours versus 78. So like
slightly more.
Not massive, but percentage wise, it's fairly decent.
It sounds like an accumulation of a bunch of small factors. Like, a slightly bigger battery is one. Slightly more efficient motors is another. Slightly, you know, the facelift is probably better for aerodynamics, honestly. Like, a bunch of little things added together equals 30 more miles of range. Cool. Faster charging, I think, is actually more important. But
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Also, did you feel when you drove the Polestar the range was very accurate when you were driving it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Usually, I mean, this was very early in my testing, so I don't remember as well. I do remember on paper it being one of the only ones with 250 plus. Like, a lot of the ones we saw coming out were like, oh, we'll have 220, we'll have 240. Yeah. But I don't remember exactly how accurate it was. Good. The rest of the experience was great. Good drive, good software, like good space, good materials and build and everything. And I like the way it looks. So I hope it is accurate.
I guess my question being is, like, I always like that number 300, but when Tesla was the only one over there, I was always like, well, 320 is like 300. So this at 300 is like, is this a really accurate 300, or are you going to get under there? And this is being super picky, but 300 seems to be that great number.
I would like to test it for autofocus.
Yeah.
The Rivian, when I fully charge it to 100%, says 303 on the dash. And I have full confidence when I leave the driveway, I can drive 300 miles.
Okay.
I'm not the same amount of confident with a Tesla. So we'll see where this ends up being on the spectrum.
One thing I've been thinking about, do you think that this is like, are we getting too used to a car being tech where every update we're expecting bigger things? Because this seems pretty iterative.
I like this. So this is one of the things that Tesla does that a lot of other companies don't do, which is obviously there's a bunch of paradigms that they don't do. But having a new model year every single year in a mature category ends up feeling like kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Like it's getting to that point in smartphones where we get a new model year, boom, Galaxy S23. Okay, let me compare versus last year. Is it worth an upgrade? Not really that important, right? I think if it's slowly improving over time, then yeah, it's like a piece of tech. Like it'll always get a little better, a little better, a little better. And sure, that means that there's going to be some facelifts that are bigger bumps than others.
Every few years, yeah.
And you kind of want to make sure you don't miss one of those and buy right before one of those. But I like the version of a car that's slowly always improving over time instead of waiting, new model year. Waiting, new model year. Just sell people the best car you can make. And if it gets better a little bit month to month, then I'm happy.
Yeah. I think there are like two kind of like ideas towards this. You've got the like PC companies, for example, the Razer Blade, it's always Razer Blade 2022, Razer Blade 2023. They're never like, you know, the brand new Razer Blade. It's like they just say the model number because the year number, because it's pretty much the same thing. And they have iterative upgrades, but until they like make a massive refresh, they're not going to make a big deal about it. And I think that generally makes sense. And then you can just introduce like a new category at some point.
Cars in general generally do like a 4 to 5 year like generational upgrade where it's like the 2020
Hyundai
Chevy,
Elantra.
Yeah, Hyundai Elantra 2021. Yeah. And then it's like at 2025, it's like
big
facelift. Yeah. Like more distinguishable between the two, not the like little tiny, like right now between my Forester and last year's Forester, like
would be very
the similar. Headlight, there's this like little tiny difference in some of the trim.
But does that work for EVs when it's like a tech thing, basically?
I think it does. Okay. I think it does. I mean, like,
I think so.
If you look at Tesla, they kind of have generations. Like if you look at Model S, we have Plaid now because we call it like kind of the drivetrain is the way we name it. But the previous one was the Raven Model S. And before that, there was just kind of like the new refreshed nose cone. And then before that was kind of just like 75D or whatever we just call sort of a couple generations. So I think, it's just like some of the pieces that improve will be bigger than others. If you just do a nose cone and better efficiency in the motors and you get 10% more range, you just kind of do it and tell people about it. And it's a slightly improved car, but it's not a new version of the car.
I think you could make arguments both ways. On like the Tesla version, you might not have to wait a whole year to get an update. But the like legacy car manufacturer version is like you get to see what the spec bump is going to be come the new year, and you know when the new one's version. So when it's September and you're like, I'm gonna go buy a Model S, you're not like,
that's true.
Oh, I can wait because I know these couple new features are gonna be in the next one, versus like I'm gonna buy it and then the minute I sit down and sit in it I see everybody else is getting something new.
It has bit me before. So with the more traditional model, it becomes way more obvious when there's a good time to buy and a bad time to buy. A bad time to buy is right when they're about to do a new generation, and you kind of know when they're about to do a new generation. With the Tesla, I waited until dual motor P100D came out and I said, ah, that's a good time to buy. And then I bought, and then 1 week after delivery they said, here's the new autopilot hardware all cars will get. Sorry, your car doesn't have it. So there are definitely upsides and downsides.
I will say, as like tech heads, it's really fun to have things that are completely different. Like I think the Nexus line was like a good example of that, because it was manufactured by a different company every single year. So every year you had no idea what it was going to look like.
HTC, is it gonna be Motorola?
And it was a different manufacturer almost every year. Like they repeated a couple of times, but it always looked super different and super unique, and that was super fun because you just had no clue.
It was also less mature back then.
And I think that is kind of what it comes down to, is like the maturity of the category. Like the MacBook Pro, like the whole reason that they didn't maybe put the Face ID in the cameras is because they're gonna let that mature a little bit, and then a few years down the line they'll make a bigger upgrade that makes it look slightly different.
They just want to see Marquez in sandals.
They saw that they saw that clip and they were like, take it out.
This is it.
Take the Face ID out.
I mean, we all got upset that like the 13-inch used the same chassis as the previous Touch Bar 13-inch, which I agree, it's annoying, especially since you... I think we assume that because you changed the chip, you should be changing the whole chassis.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. It's kind of weird that they didn't do it on the second generation, too. I was assuming that they would, and I don't know why they released an M2 version of that, but maybe they should have a lot of chassis left. But
supply chain.
Yeah. Either way, I think like really big upgrades are fun, but they don't always make sense to the manufacturer.
Yeah. So. If you were running... a car company, would you save all of the tech upgrades over time and watch other manufacturers pull away and make better cars until you can do a big generational update? Or would you think it makes more sense to just, hey, if we can improve the car tomorrow, let's do it?
It's also risk assessment, right? Like, yeah. If you've got the Prius and the Prius is selling like just steadily over the years, making a huge change to it is pretty risky, because even if you think, oh, this looks really cool, maybe the people that would normally buy the Prius because they like the way the Prius looks are not going to buy it anymore.
I would say something's coming, charge a price for it, and then every time it doesn't come, increase the price so people think it's coming sooner, pay more money, and then just pretty much never release that thing.
And then declare bankruptcy.
has not happened.
You could have a future buying a car company.
Wait, I want to correct one thing really quickly. I think we mentioned... So the Polestar 2, there is a single motor version and it gets 270 miles. So we're looking at like a 30 mile update. Yeah, like David said, but there was a single motor version.
But it was front wheel?
In the previous one. Yeah, yes, front wheel. So the new one's rear wheel
drive option. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not interesting. Bad.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break. We got a lot more to talk about after that. But before we jump into the break, you know what time it is.
Trivia time.
Quiet.
It'll be louder in post.
Okay.
So
I gotta get amped. Play that thing louder.
Yeah. What about the like metal rock music that used to play?
Oh wait, where is that? I have that here somewhere.
You do?
Well, that was like a light show.
Welcome to the Waveform Trivia Podcast.
I can't wait till one of these quasars just explodes behind us.
I feel like we've had so many.
Would that get you more amped?
That it did, honestly. We were feeling a little low key here.
We've had a lot of like really chaotic, high energy episodes recently, so I feel like the lack of a busy news week is like, okay.
It's a nice little calm before the storm.
Yeah. ChatGPT wrote this whole episode.
Next week will be chaotic.
All right, trivia. So we've been talking a lot about Apple recently with the MacBooks and everything coming out, the HomePod. So I did a bit of Googling and came up with a question. On average, how long does it take an apple tree to produce an apple? If you plant it from the seed, how long does it take an apple tree to produce an apple?
Genetically modified or?
Nope.
Organic.
All natural,
all
baby.
All natural, yeah, free range.
Free range apple tree.
Grass fed. I know nothing about this.
This is a tech trivia.
Yeah, this is not a tech question.
It's tech adjacent.
Somebody's gonna know the answer.
Sure.
In the meantime, be right back.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
All right, we're back. We're going to talk a little bit about some stuff in the Microsoft layoff world, but also that is related very intensely to OpenAI and ChatGPT. And I wanted to bring this back with a ChatGPT query that I saw this morning that said, compose a message announcing a 7% reduction in headcount while also promoting executives to new titles, and also include a quote from Martin Luther King.
Oh, no.
Says,
I might have to cut this.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. It says, dear team, I'm writing to inform you that we will be implementing a 7% reduction in headcount across the company. This decision was not made lightly, but is necessary in order to ensure the long-term success of our organization. At the same time, I am pleased to announce the promotion of several executives to new titles within the company. These individuals have demonstrated exceptional leadership and dedication, and we are confident that they will continue to make valuable contributions to our team. I understand that this news may be difficult for some of you, but as Martin Luther King Jr. said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at moments of, at times of challenge and controversy. Let us all strive to rise to this challenge and continue to work together towards our shared goals. Sincerely, your name.
Wow. My God.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
That's terrible. Yeah.
The reason we brought that up was because Microsoft did a big layoff. If you guys have probably heard that every single company every big tech company is doing like between a 5-10% layoff in the last like week or two, and it's actually kind of weird how they're all doing like 7%, like they're all doing 7%
and also close together, like it's like the quarter of layoffs basically.
Yeah, it's like they're, it feels like they're doing it just because everyone else is doing it. But basically, we found out a couple of days ago where all those Microsoft layoffs went, and it was really heavy in their AR and mixed reality divisions. They cut the entire team behind Altspace VR, which they had acquired in 2017, and they also cut the team behind the mixed reality toolkit framework. So it seems like they're kind of... My interpretation of what's been going on is that because Meta did their whole Meta transition in 2020 and the economy was not falling apart yet at that point, everyone started pumping just a ton of money into metaverse stuff because they didn't want to miss the wave if Meta was right. But we're at the point where they've been hemorrhaging so much money now that they're like, oh God, we're spending so much money, we have to cut back. And so they're cutting back on the metaverse stuff because it hasn't paid any dividends yet, and it doesn't look like it's going to pay any dividends anytime soon. And also, like, Microsoft did that huge announcement with Meta when Meta announced the Oculus Quest Pro, but Microsoft doesn't have to do a lot of work for that. That's better for Meta than it is for Microsoft to add all those Office apps to Oculus. Seems like everyone's kind of freaking out about metaverse and backing out.
I just keep seeing the same like basic structure of a story every time I hear about these layoffs, which is they hired a ton in 2020. Growth was phenomenal during the pandemic. And then they've realized that they shouldn't have hired that many people and they had to stop.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of a lot of those people that they hired.
Yeah.
So that story happened again. We're going to talk about AI because obviously the ChatGPT and the OpenAI investment Microsoft made, and that's like kind of.
And they did actually make the investment because last time we were talking, it was rumored.
Right.
And now it's official that they're making a multi-year, multi-billion dollar investment.
Yeah.
So I think that they're moving all of their money away from metaverse stuff and into AI stuff because AI is clearly going to start paying insane dividends very soon.
Yeah.
Whereas anything metaverse related is like 10 years down the line and they can't deal with that yet. Like they just can't expend that much.
Yeah. I saw a story recently of like ChatGPT like passing an exam, like a college professor gave ChatGPT an exam and it got like a B minus or something, which is kind of funny. But I really appreciated one take from a professor. I think the question, this is probably an NPR article someone's already heard because I heard it this morning. But the interviewer was like, are you concerned about students like cheating on exams now that they have ChatGPT? Like, it's going to happen, right? They're going to ask it for an essay and they're going to give you essays written by ChatGPT. And the professor was like, not only am I not worried about them using ChatGPT, I actually encourage and in some instances require them to use ChatGPT for their work because human nature didn't change with the advent of AI. Cheaters are going to cheat. So I might as well embrace the fact that this new tool is available and it's available to everyone. And so we might as well get good at actually taking the things that ChatGPT spits out and turning it into a useful thing. And that's actually what I'm going to grade you on, how well you can turn that into something useful. And I thought that was interesting, really solid, because that's what real people are going
to
do.
And you do have to go through what it says and like fact check stuff and make sure stuff is right if you don't want to get caught for cheating.
Yeah.
But that's... At that point, you're probably learning the information potentially better than like...
I think that's
like,
why he's saying that, yeah, right?
I did a bunch of online courses of courses that I already failed in college, and I wound up, one, not wanting to fail, so that helped a little bit. But like in my, you know, advanced research right around test time, I seemed to remember those things better because I was like good at searching the internet and finding stuff rather than listening to a teacher drone for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just like I fully see ChatGPT specifically as a tool to use. And there's no way that I write video scripts. There's no way I'm going to input a prompt into ChatGPT, take that and say it on camera as if it's me. But what I am actually doing more now is using it to help brainstorm things, whether it's an alliteration at the end of a video or a couple extra points to back up something we've been researching already. I hit the mic, sorry. that's a useful tool to figure out a way to bolster these things. And I think regular people are going to do that anyway. So whoever that professor was that said that, I'm fully on board. I back you with that. Get good at using these tools because that's going to be valuable in real life.
But also, you're not going to be able to, if you're in class, you're not going to be able to like use ChatGPT when you're writing on a piece of paper.
That's true about writing on a piece of paper in class, but I often wonder how important that particular skill is.
Yeah. Like Andrew
use
said,
paper.
Like Andrew said, like if, well, I don't know.
I get hand cramps when I write on paper.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But I mean, like Andrew said, if you're doing the assignment online or something and you have to fact check everything, like maybe that's just a different way to learn, you know, going through and editing someone else's work is actually like you have, if you're fact checking stuff, you are making sure you know the information.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, like school is like useful for like preparing you for the real world, ideally.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to prepare people for the real world, what are you going to do in the real world? Are you going to sit in a room with no internet and a piece of paper and like write things down? Or are you going to use the tools available to you on the internet to make the best thing you can?
You're not always going to have ChatGPT on your phone. In your pocket for you to use it whenever you want,
you
just like your calculators.
The entire world's knowledge base at your fingertips out in the real world.
I will say, like we're saying, like, oh, you have to fact check it. But I think that what every company is doing right now is just trying to increase the accuracy of their AI language models. Like Google intentionally has said that they don't want to release something until they have like an extremely high confidence interval that it's going to spit out accurate information. And yes, there was that article that said they are like re-examining their risk factor for how accurate it can be.
That's them going, oh my God, everyone loves ChatGPT. And we've had this thing for a while that people haven't used, but we show it on the stage at I.O. every year, but it hasn't had nearly the same viral impact. I wonder if we can set it free a little bit.
Yeah, there was an article that said they're probably going to just dump a ton of AI stuff at I.O. this year. So,
please do. But what you were saying, so the... I guess my take on using these tools right now is a very in the now take because right now ChatGPT and tools that are good with AI are better than guessing but still worse than humans, and there's a gap.
Yeah.
And the better the AI gets, the smaller the gap is between humans. And it is a specific skill to go fact check and to go research and to be able to turn that thing that it spit out into a good piece. But the closer that gap gets and the better that AI gets and the closer it is to humans, the less important that skill is. Yeah. And that's going to be a whole nother weird frontier.
That's going to be strange because you're not going to have to have a broad knowledge as much. And we might see a return to people just like chasing the things that make them interested, right? Like right now you have to do all of these like basic classes in college that mm-hmm. don't necessarily give you the skills that you want for your career, but that you're just learning like English and all this stuff. But if the wealth of human knowledge has already been collected into an AI and you can just use those things to do the more mundane stuff that you don't want to do.
Speed run middle school.
Yeah. And then you can use the AI tasks, the AI features, and like also just the internet to get better at the things you actually want to do. We might see some sort of like creative renaissance or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can't take
that's far out, but
you can't take what DALL-E spits out and frame it, but you can take it as inspiration for your own work.
You could frame it.
But what if DALL-E gets so good that you can just frame it?
Actually, well, I visited my sister for Christmas and I went into one of her rooms and her husband has all this like space art on the wall. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, did you buy this on Etsy? He's like, oh no, I put it into DALL-E and then I printed it out.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And so like,
sick.
He has like 5 paintings on the wall that were all made by DALL-E.
That's kind of dope. I like that. That's a very specific moment in time when DALL-E just spits out like kind of pseudo art and you're just like, yeah, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all like trippy space art.
So. That's good enough
like,
for me.
It's abstract, but it kind of looks like space and you're like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I do think we're saying how like it's getting better than guessing, but not quite human. It's going to incrementally work and get harder and harder to get closer and closer. And like right now, there's a tweet going around the other day that was like technically right, but not totally right about it passing a bunch of exams. But it was actually like 50% on like the bar exam or something, which is not quite passing. And then that was only one part of it. So it's doing a bunch of these exams, like you said, B minus.
Yeah, is that impressive?
It seems like good. I don't know. It said a medical license exam, the bar exam. Apparently, none of these were really like a good passing grade.
The bar exam is really hard, though, I think.
That's cool. I guess the other thing I missed, though, is like,
I could pass that.
Even if you have this tool at your disposal, so many of these things that we're testing it out on, like, you still need the human reaction time of things where, like, you need to just have this stuff in your repertoire, anyways. So,
yeah.
Where can this go from there? It's an interesting in between of how we're going to use this as a tool and where we'll use it and where does it reach its limits,
and that'll
it's scary and cool and like I'm excited about the tools. I wish I had it to cheat in college. I mean, work in college and like I don't know.
It's real. Real college students today are really having to deal with this.
But I also think that professor you're talking about, he's not worried because people will use it as a tool, but the people who are just going to cheat are going to copy and paste it, and it's going to be painfully obvious, and you're just going to fail them.
Exactly.
Like, if you're going out there saying, I can write this whole paper with ChatGPT and just do a couple of fact checks, you're going to fail that paper.
Yep.
They're going to know immediately.
Which is why you should embrace like that skill,
the tool
of like turning it into a good piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
The tool is to help you, not to just do it for you.
Yeah,
for now.
Sure. Disclaimer, we do not endorse cheating.
Oh, no, don't cheat.
Why not?
Don't do it.
I don't do as I say, not as I do.
You don't get your money's worth because you paid so much money to learn how to do things.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wish I remembered that when I was in college. Or I wish I knew that when I was in college.
I would like to mourn the death of an app. Again.
Is that the death march?
Hold on.
Sorry.
It's death. Yeah, it's death.
I meant to do the funeral march.
I already lost Dark Sky. This was so painful. But Dark Sky, we had this 6-month ramp where it was like, Apple looked us in the eye and they were like, we're going to murder your favorite weather app at the end of the year. So get ready.
Yeah.
And for 5 3/4 months, I continued using Dark Sky like nothing was going to change. And then on December 31st, I had an existential crisis and I was like, oh my God, Dark Sky is going to die. What do I do? And so I did eventually find one that we can talk about, which is pretty solid. But now I have to mourn the death of another favorite app, and that is Flamingo for Twitter. And all the rest of the Twitter apps I used over the years, Phoenix and Tweetbot, and shout out to the others, because Twitter just nuked all third-party Twitter clients.
Yeah.
Which on one hand, yeah, of course they did. It makes perfect sense. If you ran a website and some people just made an alternative client that's just serving the same version of your website minus all the ads that make you money,
yeah,
obviously you would kill it, right?
Yeah.
But I've been using them for so long that I didn't realize how bad the stock Twitter app actually is.
Yeah.
Which is, it's bad. It's just bad. It's a bad app. So now Twitter is worse for me. I respond to tweets less because my mentions are just broken sometimes and I just don't see like hours in a row of mentions.
Yeah.
That sucks. So yes, RIP all of the best Twitter apps that we've used over the past years.
I feel like there was like five different ways to cut into that. Yeah. Sorry. I think the first thing is like, didn't Twitter use some third-party app like features and then bring them into Twitter? Like, hasn't that been a thing? I was reading something about how like it's a little different how third-party apps have worked with Twitter because they've really like helped in the growth of Twitter as a whole.
I'd be curious.
Am I mistaken somewhere? I would like to see that.
True for Android ROMs too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Android would always eventually just add like features that ROMs had.
There are a lot of companies that wind up doing that. I mean, even if you're going to gaming, like Minecraft used third-party things. I guess at that point, it wasn't necessarily taking away ad revenue from it, which I think is a little weird because there's also things like YouTube Vanced, which is like taking away ads and taking away giving you extra features.
Yeah.
I hate Vanced because I think it's taking away from the creators. Like you're
also
directly interfering with that. Twitter, but I think when I'm pretty sure Elon found out third-party apps took away ads and was like, nope, later.
Yeah. Well, they also have their first interest payment coming up at the end of the month. Yeah, the end of the month, I think they owe $1 billion.
Like $1 billion every time.
Do you think they could have kept the apps with just like a rule set in there of you need to allow ads?
I think
you need to allow our ads.
I think there are so few people work for Twitter now that it was just easier to just pull all the keys.
My other assumption is like, did the API team that was like updating for these Twitter apps just get nuked? And then when like an update came around, it was time to like, there was something they needed to do with the API. And then just all of a sudden they're like, oh, we need to do this like blah, blah, blah thing for the API for all the third parties. And they're like, they're gone. So
I think
it was like just a back end thing because stuff just stopped working for a week and then they eventually updated the terms of service like a week later, which is really ridiculous, but exactly what I would expect.
Yep. That's classic Twitter. What are the rules? I don't know.
We're just going to change
them.
And
we can't find out because they're fired.
Yeah, but we're just going to change them and communicate them a week later.
Yeah.
I will say like it sucks for all the developers that have just been spending like over 10 years developing these apps. And then you just wake up one day and you're just like, everything you've worked on for the last decade is just doesn't work anymore. Like, that's insane. Like, I didn't think about that much until the other day. And I was like, all of those people and it's their entire livelihood is just like screwed.
That's like if YouTube just decided overnight to stop allowing people to upload videos.
Yeah.
Or stop like paying ad revenue on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh. Or even if, I mean, there's a ton of examples of crazy stuff. I just the Twitter experience for me is just like, oh, I follow people. And then when I open the app, I just get a list of the things that are posted by the people that I follow. Super simple. Chronologically, great. And then you go to the Twitter app and there's like a For You page.
Oh my God, dude.
And there's immediately an ad at the top. And then there's a tweet from someone you don't follow. And then there's a tweet that's liked by someone you follow, but I didn't sign up to see that.
Yeah.
And there's just this whole mix of things. And it's like, I vastly prefer the Twitter experience in the third-party apps.
Wait, what were you using before this happened?
I was just using the Twitter app.
So was I. And like,
I can't believe
I was a Twitter.
Well, it used to not be as bad.
I believe that.
It wasn't as bad.
It used to be pretty decent.
Yeah, that's a true thing I keep hearing, which is on my timeline, people would always be saying, is Twitter getting worse? And I'd be like, nope, it's fine. Everything's fine. My app is working perfectly. But meanwhile, the stock Twitter app that everyone's using has been getting worse. And so now that I just jumped over to it, I just jumped into like a flaming room.
Yeah.
We eased into the pain.
Yeah.
Marquez got booted out the door, elevator with no floor at the outside.
When the API keys got dropped, I just got kicked out of the nice quiet room into like the screaming, everything's on fire room.
Yeah. It was crazy how quick one of the app developers that made a super popular third-party Twitter app, like the next day after he got booted off, he released a Mastodon app.
Is it Tweetbot?
No, it's not. I don't.
Tapbots.
I think it's Tweetbots.
Yeah, it's Tweetbot. Oh, yeah,
okay. Tapbots did that as well.
Yeah, okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
But I think that this kind of signals back to like an earlier time of the internet when like Reddit, for example, also has a bazillion third-party apps,
that's
right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And I think that websites early on didn't really expect for the app ecosystem to get so insane. It took Reddit a very long time to make an official app. They on iOS, there was the only popular Reddit app was called Alien Blue, and they just bought Alien Blue and turned it into the official Reddit app.
And the Android one was, yeah, Reddit is fun, which I still use today, which I feel like feels weird that I'm not just using Reddit, but I've been using it for so long that
A long time ago, I used Bacon Reader, which felt like an RSS feed.
I was just going to say that. Shout out Bacon Reader.
And then I used on iOS right now, I use Apollo. Or is it Apollo? Yeah.
I think it's Apollo.
And then on Android, the really Relay for Reddit is like the best
one. That's the one I use, yeah.
But I think that, yeah, in the early internet, like when all of these Web 2.0 websites like weren't thinking about, oh, we need to make an app-first experience, it made sense for them to allow third parties to make apps because it was just free work for them. Like it was free allowing traffic. Other people to drive them traffic and they didn't really care. It's like, oh, other people are signing up for our service, using our service, being on our service.
I think that's the key is you need to, through that third party app, allow people to interface with all the best parts, especially the parts that make you money. Yeah. So like people need to be able to sign up through it. People need to be able to, if there's a subscription, they need to be able to do that. If there's Reddit Gold, they should be able to buy it in the third party app and Reddit gets all the money.
They don't allow, I don't think.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But that's I think why in those early days when the only real goals were like more traffic, where it's like, oh, this is kind of a green light because it's benefiting our one goal, so we'll allow it. And now they have more goals, it's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
So Twitter has a very clear goal right now, which is cut costs and make more money.
Yeah.
And now that that's happening with ads, and there's an active third-party ecosystem that does not help with that.
Yeah.
Bring them all over here. So now we're all over on the stock Twitter app.
I mean, I think even if you want to go back a step to you were saying how like you don't really read your mentions anymore, do you think part of that is because now people can pay to be verified and now your verified tab is like...
No, I go through every single mention in order from everyone. So when we post a new video and I tweet the new video, literally like for the next hour, I read every single reply on Twitter from anyone, verified or not. Now, if I want to go to the mentions tab, sometimes it's just broken and doesn't show anything newer than 6 hours ago. So I just can't do that activity anymore. Maybe if I look at activity under the tweet, but some people will tweet about the video and tag me and that won't show up there. I won't see it. So there's just like, it's just a worse experience for me, someone who used a lot of Twitter, just in chronological order scrolling.
Yeah, so. I think the verified stuff is, I still hate it. There's points where it felt like we're communicating with the other friends we have in like this tech YouTube space. And like, not to say if I'm going to just reply to something that I tweeted, I'll just look in that tweet. If I'm trying to see if like other people in our space are tweeting about things like with me, I can't see it anymore because I have dozens and dozens of tweets from like verified people that I'm like, did I meet them somewhere? Like, it's just someone random. I don't know. It's still a weird, weird situation in that point. I think Twitter overall has definitely gotten worse. Yeah. I don't know if anyone can believe differently. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe here's a positive note for this whole story. I did find a weather app.
Oh, okay, cool.
and that is, this is huge. Yeah. It's huge for me. I mean, Dark Sky was my whole life. I was a weather committee on our Frisbee team. So Carrot weather app, it basically, and they tweeted at me a bunch of times after I was like mourning the loss of Dark Sky. They have a Dark Sky lookalike layout that's like hidden in the settings and you can like enable it and it looks basically just like Dark Sky. And so that to me was close enough. Like it's not exactly the same. Radar features aren't exactly the same, but it was close enough. And then it has a bunch of other cool features. It's got a bit of a personality. I open it up and I don't have my phone on.
I like,
but it just reads the weather in a snarky way. It's cool.
I think it's funny. I don't even use it. And I follow Carrot and the creator on Twitter because I just think they're funny.
Yeah, they're funny. Yeah, it's good. So, you know, if you were looking for that replacement, I think this is it. Like the stock weather app on the iPhone theoretically uses a lot of the same data and features. I think it uses Dark Sky data, but it's not the same layout. It's not the same set of features in the same way. Dark Sky was such a well laid out app to me. So if you want to check out Carrot, it's got this like timeline view, I think is what it's called.
And only iOS right now has the newest update that has that. Apparently the Android update is in the works, but I don't think we're seeing that till end of this year. So
I'm using weather on iPhone, I guess.
Yeah. I'm also realizing how different you and I are in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So like, do you know how you use a million different like tracking apps for like to-do list?
Andrew, and I tell use me the alarm. You use your alarm clock for
not for weather, app. But do you want to know how I check the weather?
You look outside.
What do you do? You definitely don't do that. No, nobody does
I
that.
Type in the like Google Now bar on the bottom, I just type like weather Kearney. And then just like the top, yeah. Google search has a top thing where you can still slide a slider yes. and see stuff. That's what I just use for weather.
That's mostly fine. It's temperature. It's cloudy or not. Yeah. It's rainy or not. Like that's the basic info. But when I'm trying Saturday. To figure out like
humidity,
what time is it going to start raining?
I have a HomePod for that now.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, debatable because it's inside.
But you're like, smoking hot, Andrew.
What time? How much snow are we going to get? I know it's going to start snowing, but how much snow are we going to get? Mm. Right? Or I can see this storm on the radar, and I can see, oh, it's actually currently raining where my sister is, and that exact piece of rain is going to come up to where I am. Like that sort of stuff. Which maybe I'm just a weather nerd and I care, but like, I don't know.
You do follow a weather YouTuber, so.
Dude, Ryan Hall, I know his channel just blew up with a lot of the crazy weather we've been getting, but I don't watch weather on TV anymore. I watch Ryan Hall's videos, and he's a great
he's fantastic.
Weather man. He's a meteorologist on YouTube. It's great.
Wow.
Shout out to Ryan Hall. Link down below.
What weather app do you use?
I do the same as you.
I will say
this table is dividing very hard recently. This is chaos.
Psychos.
I do sometimes look at the default weather app. I will say I had a really weird experience yesterday. Please laugh at me. So I have some normie friends, okay? Mm-hmm. I have some normie friends. This is new for me.
The worst.
I made a bunch of normie friends in the last year. Some of them like to look at their horoscope.
Oh.
They understand that it is stupid,
mm-hmm.
And that it's, you know, random.
We stand zodiac signs here.
We?
I don't want to get ripped apart on this.
They made me download this app called, what is it called? It's a
like
it's
a zodiac sign?
It's
thing?
A horoscope app.
Yeah.
It's really popular. CoStar, I think it's
I
called.
Downloaded that too.
I believe they're extremely popular.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah.
Like it's dumb and fun, and it's sort of like a social media app because it'll show you like what you're aligned on with other people on what day, and it's super dumb. But yesterday morning, mm-hmm. I woke up and it looked like I assumed it was going to be cloudy outside and just rainy and cold because my apartment doesn't get very much light. I opened up this like zodiac app, and it says at the top it is going to be sunny in your area today. And I was like, what? And so then I opened the weather app and it was like mostly sunny. And I was like, oh, wow.
My horoscope is accurate. I knew
so
it.
I'm telling you, I got my weather through.
So you use your horoscope app.
Oh, my God.
my Google weather looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's
on
like
the
really.
List, the tier list of weather apps is like Carrot, Overdrop. Stock weather app, Googling the weather.
CoStar.
Horoscope app.
No, looking outside then horoscope app.
And then CoStar. I don't think we've ever needed an ad break.
Oh, man.
More than this time
Look,
right
if
now.
You ever want to know the exact rate of precipitation, I got you. Okay. I got you.
It's just like fun sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Trivia.
Trivia time.
It's always all the right. transition. People are like, I'm not into it. It's just fun. And then later they're like, oh, this is so me.
I am a Sagittarius.
That is such a Pisces thing to do.
Oh, God. That's so Scorpio.
Sorry.
Yeah, direct the hate comments at these
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I shouldn't be so controversial.
Can of worms.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, when was Tweetbot initially released? That's the question. Think
Whoa.
About it.
Okay. Let's do ad break, come back, and then do answers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform. All right, we're back. We do have one more thing. I almost forgot there's a ridiculous thing that we need to point out. I don't know. Is this a real product?
It's the most important part of this
episode. It got announced during the Game Awards last night.
So it is a real product.
Yeah.
Or about to be a real product.
Yeah.
It's a gaming microphone that's also a muzzle. So picture this. Picture this. You've got a significant other. They're trying to wind it down. They're trying to go to bed, but you've got some games to win. So you go to the other room, you start playing, and you get on with the boys or whoever you play with, and you're getting really intense. You get a little loud sometimes. You clap, you're like yelling, you got the kill, you won the race, whatever you're doing.
Clutch the
round. And in the other room, they're like, can you keep it down? I'm trying to sleep. But you're trying to get your wins, right? You're trying to win. So what's the solution? You close the door? No. Do you just talk less? No. You're trying to have a good time. So what you do is you get the muzzle. You strap it around. You put it.
The Mutalk.
No matter how I say this, you strap it around your. You put it on your face. You strap it around the back of your head, and you are now fully able to yell as loud as you want, just like it's in the game.
Look,
but the muzzle prevents others from hearing.
Sound from escaping.
Exactly. Who among us? Like I have been in this scenario multiple times when I was like home for college break or something and I wanted to play Dota at 2 a.m. and my mom like was in the room right next to me and she would be like, David, you have to stop talking. And I'm like, but I want to play Dota.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it looks ridiculous. Like, it looks completely ridiculous, but there is some function there.
I actually I was in an apartment and my computer was on the wall where that was the bedroom. So Claire would be sleeping and I'd be like playing PUBG or something. And I'd just see my phone light up with Claire texting me and be like, I'm being too loud. Yeah. And then like look at it and be like, so this
is something you would get.
I'd rather be quiet.
Okay.
It looks like if you put a.
Thank you. That's what I was going like, to say. I'd rather just not say anything.
It looks like if you put an Oculus Quest over your mouth. There actually was, though, something very similar to this. A few years ago on Kickstarter, called
watching this video.
The Hush Me, I believe.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And it was pretty much it was headphone, like, do you remember the old wireless, like, Bluetooth headphones where you had something, like, hanging around your neck?
Yeah.
So imagine that with earbuds and then a piece that goes over your mouth so you could take phone calls and people couldn't hear or see what you were saying in public. Wow. And then it sounded like a closed off room.
Wow.
Oh, it looks so bad.
Wow. It looks so bad.
I would rather. Obviously, the fact that you've never heard of it means it didn't do very well. I think I saw one person review it once and they were doing it and you could still hear everything they were doing. so it didn't even work that well.
That is the cherry on top. Is like you go through all this work to like spend the money, buy the thing, you put it on, you look ridiculous. Everyone starts turning and looking at you and they can still hear everything you're saying. That's brutal. There's a tech reviewer on here.
Yeah,
go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Tech reviewer on YouTube.
Hush Me Classic is an original and quality product, ideal for gamers.
Sounds like ChatGPT wrote that.
That's what Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a real statement.
So this, I don't even know if there's a price or a release date for this muzzle, but that's what it is. It's a gaming muzzle.
Jeez.
This does not look comfortable either, because that's a strap around the back of your neck and the top of your head.
Oh my God.
And wearing that for long amounts of times.
I said this in Slack yesterday, but I really want to use like this plus the like triple monitor MacBook adapter and just bring all of this stuff into my cafe and just work all day with all of this stuff and just see what happens.
Do you know what's...
Just set up a 360 camera and just like capture people's reactions.
The funny thing about this is it's not even like that high tech. It shows a separated view. It's literally just a like piece of foam that has a microphone in it shoved in a box that you put over your face.
Yep.
So it's just foam that's absorbing your, it's not even like active noise canceling or like doing anything intense. And it's $200.
It is.
It's a microphone inside a box filled with foam.
Is there enough ventilation? Like I would get concerned about.
Pass out.
I would get really concerned about
your nose
just like.
Is open.
Oh yeah. You, okay, you have to, it encourages nose breathing.
I feel like
that's the real benefit. Yeah.
The amount of crap that
my allergies would never let me do this.
Your mouth.
Well, that's what it's saying is that you can wash the foam later, I guess. But this is literally all it is.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Well,
we had to talk about it.
I'm gonna use that on the subway.
MuTalk, if you like, send us one. We'll definitely try it out.
I will definitely try it out.
We will definitely try it.
Why would you open that door?
Oh, the door is wide open.
Yeah, the door has been open. What's more open than an open door?
A closed mouth.
A door not even being there.
Trivia answers.
Trivia time.
Is a door still a door if there's not a door on it? Because
trivia.
It's still like a walkway that you can go through.
I think it's an entryway at that point.
One.
Or two. Marquez has 3 points.
Yes.
Andrew has 3 points.
Darn.
David in the lead with 4 points.
Unbelievable.
Also, quick correction from a previous episode. So I had as one of the trivia questions, what was Teenage Engineering's first product? You guys all said OP1, which I thought was the OP1. So I marked it correct. A lot of people on the internet thought it was the OP1 too. But Anton from Teenage Engineering actually reached out and said that while the OP1 was like one of their first major products, it wasn't actually their first product. Mm. Their first product was a modular desk lamp. And they sent me their old Tumblr page as proof. And it looks awesome. It's so cool. The fact that it's on Tumblr amazing.
Yeah.
They were probably hoping when this was on trivia that you would have gone to their old Tumblr page. And that's how you know it's a good trivia answer.
I know. Next time I'm going to start checking the Tumblr pages.
I think it's crazy that no one else said like that was wrong. That somebody from the company had to pull up a Tumblr page to tell you that
amazing.
It was actually this.
So I'm going to post this screenshot on the video. So if anyone wants to see, go check it out.
Keep our points.
It was all the same, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you all said the same thing, so we could remove the points and it would be exactly the same lead, or we could just keep them.
We'll just
I say we keep them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
I'll argue.
So, on average, how long does it take for the average apple tree
to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?
To produce apples.
Oh.
Yeah, close.
Okay, wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Is that when the apple tree is already grown?
No. It's from a seed when you plant it in the ground. Geez. From seed to tree.
Oh, good God.
What did
from
you guys
seed
think
to tree to producing another apple?
Yes.
Like, if it drops an apple and then it has to make a new apple. That was my thought.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very different answer.
An apple tree.
We might have to go closest one wins
because
I have no idea.
There's a range, so I'll accept any number within
range?
That range.
Oh,
yeah,
perfect.
Well, it's on average, so.
Okay.
Average.
All right.
Wouldn't average not have a range?
Well,
that's an average.
What is
a
range?
Give me the middle standard deviation.
The median. All right.
The mode.
Wait, I already saw Marquez's answer. Just flip it.
Flip it. Read them out.
Yeah, what are you guys? 6 to 9 weeks?
I said 6 to 9
15
weeks.
Years.
Oh my God. Wait. Very different answers.
One at a time, read them out, please.
Okay,
I said 6 to 9 weeks.
From a seed?
From a seed? I bet that has like, I bet.
I have no idea.
In 9 weeks, I bet you an apple tree is like a piece of grass.
Barely. All right, Andrew, what did you say?
I said 15 years.
I said 3 years. Wow.
The answer is 8 years.
8 years?
So technically David was the closest.
Let's go.
So David gets the points.
Oh, yeah. Did I say weeks? I meant to write years.
That's what I saw you.
6 to 9 years.
Wait, did you really mean to say that? Or
no, you can't have a ring.
Hold on. This is what an apple tree looks like.
I'm going to say 0 to 100 years. Do I still get it right?
9 weeks.
What is it? It looks like a little plant in the ground.
Yeah. Like I could put it in
my windowsill.
It looks
like one little leaf that has come out of the ground.
Look, I don't plant very many trees.
We can tell.
How long does it take for a human person to create a baby from a
seed? I know that.
Next question.
Okay.
When was Tweetbot initially released?
Like what year?
Yes. I will accept year. I will accept date if you can get it. 2 points if you get the date. But I'll probably just take whoever's closest. Take your time. Are we ready? How are we feeling?
Yeah.
Confident? Not confident? Are we just guessing completely?
I have like a...
Andrew's like, yep.
General idea.
Well, I guessed one, and then wrong. I thought of something, and it confirms my guess. Whether I'm right about what I thought about is another question.
All right. Well, read them out.
Educated guess here. I said June 2011.
Oh, you did? You all did right. Months?
It is 2011.
It is 2011.
Oh, wow. I did October 2010.
I did 2012.
Dang, I was 2 months off.
It was April 14th, 2011.
Oh, wow.
So Marquez got
That's pretty close.
See, I thought the guy said after 10 years.
More than 10 years.
He said more than 10 years. That's where I was wrong.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, it was just, I remember Tweetbot, it came to iPhone first before of all course, the other platforms.
Did you check their Tumblr?
I forgot about that. So I got a point. So that's I'm tied with David, I guess.
No.
Yes. No.
Because I got the last point.
You got the Apple one.
It's Marquez 4, Andrew 3, David 5.
All right. Noted.
Do we want a bonus question?
No.
I would like a if it's tech related. Yes.
It is tech.
Let's
related.
Let's do a bonus question.
Sure. Oh, bonus right question.
My right. Gosh.
Yes. Because Ellis isn't here, I'll use his question.
Perfect.
My lead.
So,
not an Ellis question.
Bonus question.
Oh God.
It's an Ellis question.
Oh no.
This is worth 2 points.
Oh wow.
Just because.
Okay.
The word pixel is a mashup of two other words. What are they?
I don't want the bonus question.
It is.
Pixel?
Pixel. They're writing on their boards, looking very confused. David looks actually confident. I'm a little nervous. Andrew is putting down the marker. Marquez is erasing. All right. Flip them, boys.
That was so nice when you said all right with the music.
Oh, yeah. All right. Read them out.
Wow. I said picture element.
What? That is correct.
What? What?
Andrew, what did you say?
Pixel.
David?
Picture
I'm just too embarrassed now.
Wow.
I said picture voxel.
So close, but no. Picture element.
Wow.
Marquez with 2 points.
Holy smokes.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, the X is from
it's an element of a picture.
Like, I wrote pics on the top and O on the bottom, and I just guessed for each.
Wow.
And that worked. Wow.
An acronym that actually, well, it's not an acronym.
Wow.
An amalgamation.
That actually makes sense.
I'm going to have to fact check this one, but for now.
I'll take it.
Please, Marquez has 6 points.
Carve the
Andrew
points.
Has 3. David has 5.
Wow.
Carve the points into stone. That's a great way to end this episode.
Wait, what does WX1000 Mark 5 stand for?
WX or H?
X.
So X is the buds.
No, y. F is the buds.
X are the headphones.
X isn't a thing.
X are the headphones, aren't they?
No.
WH1000XM3s are the headphones.
Oh,
WF1000XM3s are the headphones.
H is headphones, X is earbuds. F is earbuds.
So it stands for 1000, nothing.
I don't know what
Why
that
does
is.
F stand for earbuds?
Why does F stand for earbuds in Sony land? I don't know.
I was going to say frequency.
Phone, like an earphone maybe? I don't
know. Oh, you don't know the answer to this?
No. Oh, my God.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
That's where we end it for this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Stay tuned because it's about to be busy again. Sort of a pseudo-techuary, if you will. See you then.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. We are partnered with Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio.
a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.